Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
Welcome back, everyone. Toker Talk Radio on the air. And in further news, Abe Vigoda is not dead. Abe Vigoda, age 94, still living in Brooklyn, New York. Check out abevigoda.com. There's a great piece in the Orlando Sentinel from February of this year entitled, "Is Abe Vigoda Alive?" Yes, and he's 94. And he was, of course, Detective Phil Fish on TV's Barney Miller. He was also in The Godfather, of course. And it's always been a joke, you know, has Abe Vigoda died? Well, no, he's still alive, 94 years old. So check that out at abevigoda.com. Now, other news. I had Kyle Eboshi, a reporter from KGW News, in the studio today. And they were interviewing me for a piece they're doing, a special report they're doing, not this coming Monday, but a week from Monday. It'll be on KGW News. That's our NBC affiliate here in Portland. And it's an investigation on the federal tax dollars that still flow into Oregon, Colorado, Washington, and Alaska to pay local law enforcement to fly helicopters into the national forests and eradicate illegal marijuana grows. And the thrust of their piece is basically, why are we doing this? Now that we've legalized, why are we spending this money? And I had to be careful to point out that we still need law enforcement. We still need cops to break up illegal grows. I don't want cartels growing weed in my national forest. Nobody wants that. But I made it clear in the interview that the weapon we have been using to try to address that problem, law enforcement pulling weeds on the weekend, is not going to solve the problem. I also showed them how much of what they report in those eradication seizures is ditchweed, is feral hemp, and how they helicopter out these big bales of feral hemp. And of course, it's not cultivated hemp, right? So it's like got males, it's got females, it's got seeds. And so they got these helicopters blowing seeds all over the land as they, you know, as they lift out, airlift out the hemp or the feral hemp, right? So it's a self-cultivating kind of process, right? Go pull up some hemp, fly some seeds around, and next year there'll be more hemp to pick up. So that's kind of what they wanted to interview about. And I pointed out what a waste of time and money it is, that you cannot defeat this problem with police. You have to defeat it through economics. And that's what's happening, is that as we have more licensed grows, you're going to find that we're going to have fewer illegal grows. Farmers don't want to hike into the backwoods and traipse through unspoiled places and dig up streams and all that kind of stuff. They don't want to do that. You don't see a lot of those kind of clandestine farms producing tobacco or hops or rutabaga or anything like that. Filberts, for that matter. Because there's just no profit in it. There's no profit in the crime. They could if they wanted to, but there's no profit in the crime. Now, it's going to take a while. We're in this transitionary period, right? Where marijuana is legal here in Oregon, but it ain't legal in Chicago. It ain't legal in Dallas. It ain't legal in Atlanta. There's a lot of places where you can illegally grow Oregon weed, where your illegally grown Oregon weed will sell for far more than it will sell here in Oregon. So long as we have this patchwork of legal and illegal, there will still be criminal incentive to plant in the national forest. And we still want law enforcement to take care of that. Our legal, tax-paying, job-creating, law-abiding businesses should not have to compete with illegal cartels that are tearing up the land and poisoning the environment. Of course not. So I'm interested to see how this turns out. Kyle Boshi and the crew from KGW were a lot of fun today. I hope the shots turn out well. Also, of course, coming up this weekend, we've got the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference at the Hilton. And that means tomorrow we will have replay shows on because I have to get set up over there and attend a VIP reception. But we will still have a live Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, and Herb's got some guests coming into the studio, so we're going to have ourselves a good time talking to some musicians. Saturday and Sunday, I'll be at the OMMBC, and we'll get all sorts of the coverage for you. And in other news, of course, the big news is that tonight is the opening of the NFL football season. Pittsburgh Steelers facing off against Tom Shady and the New England Deflatriots. I won't let it go. They're cheaters. They are just cheaters. It doesn't matter how successful the cheaters they were. It doesn't matter whether or not their cheating had an influence. They're cheaters.
Elitist. Just like any other dishwashing, burger flipping, public school educated, self-employed, bar band, musician, National Guardsman, he's Radical Russ.
All right, folks, looking forward to the NFL season. Of course, my mighty 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers playing the Chicago Bears on Sunday. And I'm going to be at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. There better damn well be some internet access. I got to catch my Packers game. Come back with more marijuana stories right after this.
.420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee educated.
Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, producer of the 4th Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, the OMMBC. There have been a lot of recent changes to Oregon cannabis laws. Recreational sales start October 1st, new licensing from the state, and changes to medical marijuana. Are you prepared? Join us at the downtown Portland Hilton September 12th and 13th with the industry's top cannabis experts, political leaders, exhibitors, and nightly networking events. For more information, join us online or give us a call. The OMMBC. Be part of history.
Cannabis culture goes way back, you dig? Way before hippies and beatniks and pigs. Back to hep cats like Louis Armstrong and Cab Calloway. Soulful dames like Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday. All the way to old Blue Eyes and the Rat Pack. So come spark up a jazz cigarette and take a trip back to when marijuana was jive, muggles, reefer, and tea. It's the new Viper Hour, daddy-o, see? The early 20th century archives of blues, jazz, and swing that defined the cannabis culture and everything. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. and weekends at 1 a.m. Pacific on 420radio.org, the home for marijuana music. Yeah.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabusiness 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Feeling funky here on a Thursday. And that reminds me, coming up tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific time, as part of our regular weekday 8 p.m. music block, you got Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. That's right. You can get onto the rink. It's an all skate in the groovy direction with the best of late 70s, early 80s funk, soul, and disco. Going to be a great show tonight. Tonight you get to hear a big old bag of funky soul, pounds of soul. Looking forward to that on Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific. And as part of our weekend music block, every Friday and Saturday night, starting at 8 p.m. Pacific, we offer 6 hours of new original music programming, starting 8 p.m. with the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. 2 hours of Metal Marijuana Mayhem, followed by Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink at 10. Friday at 10, you get to see him spinning the tracks live. Saturday at 10, you get the replay from the previous week. And then at 11, we've got Electric Bob's Boogaloo out of Arizona, bringing you the latest in-house techno dance type music. At midnight, Gordon Green's Music Planet, a full hour of the coolest world music you could ask for. And then we wind things up at 1 in the morning with the new Viper Hour, an hour of the best of early 20th century blues, jazz, swing, big band, lounge music, everything from the 1900s up to the Rat Pack of the 1950s. The beginnings of America's cannabis culture. Got more news for you here on the marijuana front, courtesy of our chat room. I want to thank Bradger out there for bringing us this information. But in Illinois, you know, we got medical marijuana in Illinois, but it's one of the newfangled medical marijuanas. And let me break this down for you real simple. Medical marijuana that passed in the 90s kicks ass. That's your California, Alaska, Oregon, Washington, Maine, right? The medical marijuana from the 90s kicks ass in that they have fairly large condition lists, fairly open procedures for getting medical marijuana, some sort of dispensary system, and generous home grow allotments. But in the 2000s, medical marijuana changed because there was this perception of, oh my God, too many people are faking it. So the condition list got stricter and more detailed. And leading up into 2008, when Michigan passed medical marijuana, it became the last state to actually allow people to grow their own medical marijuana. After 2008, the medical marijuana of the 2010s has all been about state control, a small oligopoly of producers, no home cultivation, and in the most recent states of New York and Minnesota and Louisiana, access only to non-smoked forms of medical marijuana, no buds themselves. Illinois finds itself in the middle of that 2010 pack, of the 2010s, where they passed what they bragged about at the time. Their governor bragged about it being the strictest, most stringent medical marijuana program in the nation. And what they mean when they say that is we're keeping out the fakers. What we mean, what we hear when they say that, is we're keeping out most of the legitimate patients. And that has been confirmed in this news report we're getting from our chatter Bradger out on the chat room. There is a medical advisory board that, according to the law, the Illinois law, can study and recommend other conditions for which medical marijuana may be recommended. Now, Illinois has got one of the strictest lists. Now, it's confusing because they got a lot of shit on that list, okay? It's like 40 conditions long or something like that. But it's so specific in the list that many people who would get medical marijuana in other states can't get it in Illinois. For example, in the 90s medical marijuana states and most of the 2000s medical marijuana states, you can get medical marijuana for chronic pain. In fact, pain is the condition we have somewhat, probably the most scientific evidence for. Not in Illinois. It's got to be complex regional pain syndrome one or two with objective etiology of, you know, blah, 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 blah. But basically, they make it so narrow, trying to keep the fakers out, keep the potheads out. They make it so narrow that very few of the legitimate patients can even get medicine. So in Illinois, the medical advisory board, some, what, 180 days ago, longer than that, 194 days ago, according to my chatter, submitted 11 conditions to add to the list that would be qualifying for medical cannabis. So the medical advisory board, and we're talking about doctors, right? Scientists, researchers, people with degrees in medicine, recommended that medical marijuana be allowed for anorexia nervosa. Now, we know medical marijuana gives you the munchies, right? Chronic post-operative pain. We know medical marijuana is good for pain. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. That's a pain syndrome. Irritable bowel syndrome. We know so many people with gut problems that medical marijuana helps. Migraines. Hell, I can testify to that with my wife's condition. Neuro-Behçet's autoimmune disease watch. Don't know what it is. Neuropathy, peripheral and diabetic neuropathy. That's the pain syndrome we have the most science for. In fact, cannabis does a better job on neuropathic pain than anything. Osteoarthritis, polycystic kidney disease, post-traumatic stress disorder. These are some of the conditions that were proposed for Illinois' medical marijuana program by these doctors, by this medical board. So the Illinois Department of Public Health then has to review that, and their guy took too long. You know, he went over the statutory time scale, but still. After all that, after all these doctors review these conditions, the governor comes in and says, nope, can't have medical marijuana for those things. A panel of doctors looked at anorexia nervosa and said, hey, marijuana gives you the munchies, might help these skinny people eat. And a governor who has no medical training whatsoever said no. That's bullshit. And that's what's so frustrating about the political tactic of having to legalize the medical use of marijuana is you put politicians in charge of medical regulation and you put doctors in charge of access to marijuana. The former, having government in charge of medical decisions, obviously leads to tragedies for medical patients when their anorexia or their neuropathy or their PTSD isn't covered. On the other side, the doctors who become the gatekeepers for marijuana end up being besieged by some of the people who merely want to treat their arrest anxiety syndrome, who merely want to keep their ass out of jail, and they end up in the middle. These doctors end up in the middle having to be the arbiters of who is sick enough to keep out of jail, who is healthy enough to turn back out on the streets. And that's the tragedy of medical marijuana to me, is it puts doctors in this position they shouldn't have to be in. Imagine if the only way that you could drink beer at a bar is if you had a permission slip from a doctor. Can you imagine how many people would be, you know, overwhelming their doctor's offices these days? Marijuana belongs in the same category as aspirin, as antihistamines, things that I can buy over the counter at a Walgreens. I understand some people would have the consideration of, well, what about the kids? Kids can buy aspirin at the Walgreens and so forth. Yeah, sure, let's card. Let's card for that kind of stuff. But the more that we put barriers to people's access to marijuana, the more likely there are going to be shenanigans. There are going to be people trying to game the system and get around it and try to avoid being arrested. the ironic thing is these anti-pot people don't understand that the thing that would accomplish the most of their goals would be embracing legalization, turning marijuana into something boring and regular, taxing it and using the proceeds to deal with what few problems are dealt with because of medical marijuana.
I spent the last 2 years of high school in a daze.
But if these guys had any sense in the first place, marijuana never would have been made illegal in the first place, right? Right. Happy 420, everyone. We're loving it here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. When we come back, we got a Groovin' Thursday Daily Toker Tune of the Day. Stick around.
Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, folks, let's get into our Groovin' Thursday. We got Chuck Diesel on the line. How you doing, Chuck?
Doing great. How are you, Russ?
Well, pretty good. We're slipping into Portland weather here now in September, so it's a little cooler here in the studio. And, of course, this weekend we got the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, so I'm pretty happy.
Nice. Yeah. And speaking of Oregon, kind of wanted to get your opinion on something, both as a political observer and as a marijuana activist, and that's just these kind of protectionist state residency requirements. And I think Oregon is kind of toying with that, both for medical and recreational right now.
Yeah, you know, I don't like it, generally speaking. And where this comes from is there's this natural kind of conflict between the consumer side and the producer side. If you're a producer, you're growing marijuana, you want to see these laws to prevent, you know, big money guys from Colorado coming in, buying a bunch of warehouse space and, you know, booting you out of the market. But from my perspective as a consumer, I want to see the people who start Oregon businesses having the best opportunities they can so that we have the most competition possible. So if that means they get some money from, you know, investors in Colorado or California or something like that, I'm not necessarily against it, so long as people running the businesses are Oregonians.
Yeah. Well, and even if they weren't, I mean, I just think of it as as a consumer of public services, I'm like, okay, Oregon, with having the hell of a time funding your public schools and all of this, it's like, why wouldn't you take the money? Like, why wouldn't you want the economic activity in your state, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing that they are turning this down, right? And it's just a testimony to how powerful the moral arguments are for these people. You know, I remember one of them, you know, when we said, hey, well, taxing marijuana will raise this much money for schools. And their response was, yeah, well, then let's tax prostitution for schools and let's tax, heroin for schools and whatever else, right? So to them, they just see it as taking blood money.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. It's the blood diamonds, too. I mean, it's the exact same, just corrupt source viewpoint. But I guess you don't want to get me started on those other two, because I'd be for the other two. Let's tax and regulate heroin and prostitution, and let's see if we can get rid of some of the sex trafficking through regulation. But yeah. Anyway, that's not what this show's about.
No. But, yeah, good points anyway. And, wanted to talk a little bit about the track we got coming up here, Task Rock and Action Bronson. This sounds like a good one.
Yeah, Northern Lights. It's a great track. Got pretty much, you know, I think there's something about being a stoner that when someone drops some heady names of strains, it just feels good to hear it in your music.
And yeah.
So I love listening to Task Rock because he's so in the 710 oil scene. He kind of is the 710 scene, as one of the first major pioneers with Titanium. And Action Bronson has such a big profile as well with his show on Vice. What is that called? Fuck That's Delicious.
Yeah.
I love that show.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get to it. Our 420 daily toker tune for the day for Roots Monday. It's Task Rock and Action Bronson with Northern Lights. Hey, I love Northern Lights. This will be a good one. Thanks a lot, Chuck Diesel. We'll talk to you again next week.
Adios, Russ.
You put the flour in the grinder and you crank it. In bed with Mary, you can find her in my blanket. You got fire, I'ma blaze it. Call it rise to the occasion. Fat shatter patties, butter drying in the basin. I don't need no provocation to smoke. My occupation's the tote. Even though it's also making me broke. Come on, Barack Obama, gotta lend some change with a stroke of a pen. Quit persecuting all of those you're supposed to defend. How'd it be? Taking tokes of the sour D. Hourly, calling like a falcon on the balcony. I'm tripping when I'm out of weed. I need a Buddha sack. That pre-98 Bubba headband, a super jack. Rolling never get far, opening a fresh jar. Little Skywalker choking on the Death Star. Spoiled bragger, E-Nail coil rapper. Royal shadow rapper, spitting hotter than my oil spatter. My whole clique keeps blowing all the glass. Growing all the grass, and smoking all your hash. It's a green rush, but we ain't in it just for cash. We're in it for the love, till death dust and ash.
I'm in the kitchen and I'm frying chicken. Eyes Chinese, be getting heiny since the 90s.
Yes.
Cold honey in a parchment paper, hit the nail. Now I'm gone like when the wind hits the sails. Mommy keep the bell for me, cause she know that I be doing wrong. Not a beamer, look like it got U-ins on. Move strong, my bitch is Jewish with a blue thong. Dabbing award winner out the new bomb. Adjust the nail on the rig, now I'm sweating. Keep the pen in my pocket, I'm always rapping. Seven dabs, open my Viziano. At the table, I'm known to order duck like Donald.
My whole clique keeps blowing all the glass. Growing all the grass, and smoking all your hash. It's a green rush, but we ain't in it just for cash. We're in it for the love, till death dust and ash. Recession proof, I'll never need a bailout. I'm waiting for the postman, my drugs are on his mail route. I can do anything myself except for self-doubt. So I don't ever seek help, I only help out. It's mad work, we doing lots of trimming. Then getting stoned like Islamic women. When caught slipping, the system is flawed. Isn't it odd, your God's giving us plans. And your stance is that your law forbids them. And watch out if you're black or you speak in Spanish. Cause that racist law was made to attack and defeat Hispanics. It's propaganda, we laughing at reefer madness. But the privatized prisons will profit when people vanish. That's why I feel like the loneliest dude. The only one
one out of my friends without a Mobius tube. It's rude, I don't collect, I just buy and I use. I kind of abuse my glass clog, try and diffuse, you lose. My whole clique keeps blowing all the glass, growing all the grass, and smoking all your hash. It's a green rush, but we ain't in it just for cash. We're in it for the love, till death, dust and ash.
Niggas, they smart, just learning to roll the blunt. Been there, done that, I'm on that other shit. I'm on that other shit. Niggas, they smart, just learning to roll the blunt. I'm on that other shit. Been there, done that, I'm on that other shit.
That bacon quave with the eggs, man, I seen you on some other shit. Fabulous, makes me wanna beam aboard the mothership. The mini tube mafia and Darby guns, it's a takeover. Spitting fire like my man Bates, glass flamethrower. Smoking in my bathtub, cause fuck the damn club. I'm home alone, taking dabs out my hand bub. It's all American, no phony-ish. My only wish is I had a never-ending supply in my Bertone dish. Staying at the Radisson, taking dabs with Addison. San Francisco stopped to meet with Julio and dab again. We link with Chad and them, staying in San Diego. Backstage at the Bay Cup, blazing with Danny Dago. Peace to Mag Guido, toping the Tope Daddy. Funk Master Kush, let's twist up a bush and smoke fatties. And big ups to Weezy for like every show. You seem to always save our ass, yo, wherever we go. Ayo, my buddy Juggy acting funny off a hubby bar. Looking like a Pooh Bear with his head stuck in a honey jar. H.E. Ty Sweet at the Hard Rock. Rock stars carving out our spot from the bar stop. My life's one big oil adventure. I'm laying honeys and making monies like coil condenser. Let's go. My whole clique keeps blowing all the glass, growing all the grass, and smoking all your hash.
It's always 420 on your 24-hour cannabis community radio, 420radio.org.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Fridays at noon Pacific for Potstock Radio, podcasting at potstockradio.com. We are the voice of and for the legal marijuana and hemp financial sector. We interview CEOs and leaders of publicly traded companies related to the American and Canadian cannabis industries. Check our online listings for Potstock Radio with Eric, Rye, and Trace from potstockradio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Things and stuff and stuff and things and stuff. Dream me.
Aw, yeah, that's Ike and Tina Turner with Bold Soul Sister. It's definitely a Groovin' Thursday, isn't it? Don't forget, Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink up tonight at 8 p.m. You can get more of your funk prescription filled. Lively Libra's in our chat room, one of our longtime fans who escaped the clutches of evil prohibitionist Iowa. and is now living the dream. 8,000 feet high and climbing, working at the dispensaries in the mountains of Colorado. She's in our chat room right now, who asks, you going to Boston, Russ? And as a matter of fact, I am going to Boston. That's right. The Boston Freedom Rally takes place 2 weekends from now, the 26th and 27th of September, at the Boston Common, where our founding fathers formed this country. Did a lot of the forming of the country there anyway. And yeah, we'll be there at the Boston Freedom Rally. It's older than the Seattle Hemp Fest, as a matter of fact. And last, I think, 8,600 feet, she says. Yeah, so I will be in Boston for the Freedom Rally. I've got a hostel. That's my new way of traveling now. I get these hostel rooms. You know how this works, right? Where it's just, you get a room that's literally just like a room, a bed, and a sink. And then down the hall is the communal bathroom and showers. It's really cheap. It's like $80 a night. And I'm telling you, folks, finding a place to sleep in Boston for $80 a night is quite the deal. So yeah, I will be on the East Coast, Boston, Massachusetts, at the end of this month. A lot of things happening. This weekend, of course, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. And then in 2 weekends, I'm off to Boston for the Boston Freedom Rally. The following weekend, Las Vegas for the Las Vegas Hemp Fest, although I haven't set up flights yet for that, but I think I'm going. The following weekend in October, the 10th, the Oregon Hemp Convention here in Portland. The following weekend on the 17th, I'll be at the Virginia Normal Conference in Richmond, Virginia. But Portland Hemp Stock will be happening here in Portland, Oregon. So Herb Thrasher will be at that. The weekend following, there's nothing. The weekend of the 24th, I finally have a day off. But my Portland Normal membership meeting will happen. And then the following week, in the middle of the week, October 26th through 28th, is the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo in Phoenix. I think I'll be a part of that. And then, of course, that weekend is Halloween, and Halloween's a big weekend for me. The following weekend, November 7th, the Northwest Cannabis Classic here in Portland. The following weekend after that, the High Times Cannabis Cup in Jamaica. That's right, folks, I'm going to Jamaica. The following weekend after that, the Drug Policy Alliance National Conference in Washington, D.C. And then the following weekend is Thanksgiving. So between now and Thanksgiving, I think I have 2 weekends off. And the rest of them, I'm traveling. So don't be surprised if we don't have any regularly scheduled Friday shows for a while, because I'll be out on the road quite a bit. Thanks, Libra, for the protest speech from 2013. That was one of my favorites that I delivered. I had such a good time. Lively Libra was there, and Sharon Ravert, a.k.a. Mama Juana. That's right, Lively Libra and Mama Juana. We're there at Boston, and we hotboxed one of the, it's like not a dais, what do they call that, a gazebo, I guess? But they have this permanently standing gazebo that's got kind of this sub-basement thing where you can hotbox. That's basically what we did. We had such a good time there. Anyway, Boston Freedom Rally happening at the end of this month. Check it out, masscan.org, that's masscann.org for more information. And my entire schedule can be found on the 420 Radio schedule page, 420radio.org/schedule. Now, in other news, I wanted to go over this story that's currently in High Times Online. New DEA head believes medical marijuana should remain Schedule 1. So I reported a while back how we got this new guy at the DEA. His name is Chuck Rosenberg. He takes over after Michelle Lenhart was forced out because of the DEA sex scandal, where they were using prostitutes in Colombia, bought for them by the Colombian cartels. Oops. So Michelle Lenhart was out, not because she couldn't say that marijuana was less harmful than heroin, meth, or coke, but because of a sex scandal. Now, the guy that takes over for her, Chuck Rosenberg, has finally come out and said that marijuana is not as harmful as heroin. This is what I reported for you last week when he said, he told Fox News, he said, marijuana is dangerous. It certainly is not as dangerous as other Schedule 1 controlled substances. It's not as dangerous as heroin. But clearly, it's still dangerous. It's not good for you. I wouldn't want my children smoking it. I wouldn't recommend that anyone do it. So I don't, frankly, see a reason to remove it from Schedule 1. Now, this is frustrating because the way the scheduling works is that Schedule 1 is reserved for the drugs that have no medicinal value, cannot be used safely under doctor's supervision, and have a high potential for abuse. Okay? Dangerous, unsafe, high potential for abuse. They have a Schedule 2, which is for equally dangerous drugs that have a high potential for abuse, but they do have a medical purpose. Okay? So when we think of illegal drugs, people tend to think of illegal drugs as pot, coke, heroin, meth, acid, ecstasy. Those would be the big six, I suppose, right? So the problem is all of those, quote, illegal drugs are in different schedules. Marijuana, heroin, LSD, and ecstasy are sitting in Schedule 1, but cocaine and methamphetamine are sitting in Schedule 2. They're all considered to be dangerous drugs. They're all considered to be drugs that cannot be used safely under doctor supervision, but the coke and the meth are drugs that are considered to have some medical purpose. So Chuck Rosenberg can't even support the idea of moving marijuana out of the schedule that contains heroin and putting it into the schedule that contains cocaine? Madness, people. It's absolute madness. And Rosenberg here is saying, quote, I'm not willing to say that it's good for you or that it ought to be legalized. I think it's bad for you and that it ought to remain illegal. But in the same interview, Rosenberg goes on to explain how the United States had prohibition of alcohol in the 1930s and said, quote, we tangled with that as a society in the 1930s, and we know how that went. And also said, quote, I choose not to drink alcohol, but I'm not going to impose that on anyone else, end quote. And this goes back to the article I wrote a week or two ago about how society cannot grasp the point that drinking alcohol is taking drugs. And not just taking drugs, but taking hard drugs. Anything that you could use as a barometer to measure whether a drug is a hard drug or not, alcohol passes that test with flying colors. A hard drug ought to be one that can kill you, right? Well, alcohol can do that. Hard drug ought to be one that you can get severely addicted to the point where you suffer withdrawals if you don't have it, and the withdrawals can possibly kill you. Alcohol passes that. A hard drug ought to be one that kills brain cells. Alcohol does that. By every measure, alcohol is a hard drug. So when Rosenberg says to me, a taxpayer, that I choose not to drink alcohol, but I'm not going to impose that on anyone else. What he's saying, what I hear is, I choose not to do hard drugs, but I'm not going to impose that on anyone else. It is the ultimate in hypocrisy for Chuck Rosenberg to say he's not going to impose his alcohol views on anyone else when alcohol is the hardest drug for which you could be imposing your views on. Now, one of the things the prohibitionists will come back with in that respect is they'll say, well, yeah, alcohol's terrible. Yeah. Oh, yeah, alcohol's awful. And if we discovered it today, by God, it would be in Schedule 1. But it's just too late. It's, you know, alcohol's been in society for thousands of years. There's nothing we can do about it. There's no way that'll ever change. You know, how like gay people have not been allowed to marry for many, many centuries in Western society. But that changed. In fact, that changed rather quickly. That changed in the face of major religious opposition to it. So don't tell me that if we really wanted to do something about the cultural acceptance of alcohol, that we couldn't do something. Now, I'll grant them the idea that we shouldn't prohibit alcohol because people like to use alcohol and prohibiting it makes it worse. I'm just frustrated they can't see that logic when it comes to everything else, just because they think everything else is not as popular or as long entrenched in our cultural history. That's what it really breaks down to when they talk like this. To me, it sounds like, yeah, we can't do anything about alcohol because it's too big and powerful and popular, but we can fuck with you guys that smoke pot because you don't have a lot of power. That's what it comes down to, because you can't argue it being more harmful or more devastating to society or more troublesome to the youth or whatever, because alcohol beats it in spades. So really, their argument comes down to, we have to attack marijuana because it's the only one we can beat. We can't beat alcohol, so we can't. But we could, you know, we could. We could make changes in alcohol. All sorts of things we could do. I've often thought, wouldn't it be fun to have a political campaign not treat marijuana like alcohol, but treat alcohol like marijuana? Imagine proposing to treat alcohol like marijuana. Number one, no more advertising. All those sponsorships for the NFL and the Coors Light and the Silver Bullet and Grab a Bud and It's Miller Time and Tastes Great, Less Filling, all that gone. Gone. No more of that. No more advertising for alcohol, period. Just like marijuana, right? Maybe a billboard. I've seen marijuana billboards here in Portland now. But certainly no TV commercials, no radio commercials, none of that. None of that. No beer advertising on the sides of buildings or in stadiums or anything, right? Possession limits. People shouldn't be allowed to just buy as much beer as they want to buy. No. They should be limited to a 6-pack at a time. And maximum possession of a case. That's the most beer you can possess. If we're going to treat alcohol like marijuana. Bars? Oh, no. No bars. No bars. Can't have any taverns. No public use of alcohol.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa. The common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different. Something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Shena. Jag heter David, p.k.a. Dirtball. Vi ska röka hela tiden, alla år.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade, supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
This is something for the blunt.
Right on, man. That's Cypress Hill with Something for the Blunted. Feeling pretty good here. Feeling chiba chiba, y'all. Yeah, it is just the ultimate and frustrating dealing with the new DEA head who refuses to consider the rescheduling of marijuana. And it's important to remember when we hear from these guys, they have to say that. By law, the head of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, the drug czar, and not Chuck Rosenberg, he's the head of the DEA. Current drug czar is not Kurlikowski, who's the new guy? Crap, can't remember his name. But anyway, by law, required to oppose the legalization of marijuana or even the relaxation of any marijuana laws for any purpose whatsoever, be it medical, spiritual, industrial, or personal. They're required by law to oppose that. So this isn't Chuck Rosenberg talking, you know, with any common sense or thoughtfulness. This is him just doing his job. That's his job as head of the DEA at this point, is to oppose marijuana legalization. And it's a wonder how much longer this can continue as more and more states legalize. Because think about best case scenario. We could have Ohio legalized in 2015 and have 5 legal states. Then California, Arizona, Nevada, Massachusetts, Maine, Michigan, right? California, Arizona, Nevada, Massachusetts, Maine, Michigan, maybe even Missouri. Out of that, we ought to get at least 5 of those, right? With California, Arizona, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, and Colorado having legalized marijuana, just that block creates a huge Western legal region in America. And with California's electoral votes alone, it becomes politically untenable to maintain a strict federalist national prohibition stance. I am seeing all sorts of articles from well-respected mainstream publications, Forbes, Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg Businessweek, etc., when they start talking about marijuana legalization, offering, it's going to be mostly legal and throughout the United States in the next 5 years. This isn't the marijuana reform lobby that's predicting 5 years to full legalization. These are the conservative types, the conservative financial types, who see that marijuana is the fastest and biggest growing business market in America. It's bigger than cell phones. It's bigger than video games. It's bigger than movies. It's bigger than anything as far as growth rate goes. This is where the jobs of the future are happening. This is where the investment opportunities of the future are happening. And they believe in the power of money enough to break the political log jams. And I'm starting to agree with them. And I hate being too optimistic with my marijuana predictions because, you know, there can be a backlash and politics, you know, strange things can happen. But 5 years from now puts us in the year 2020, puts us in a presidential election year, puts us in the re-election campaign of whoever wins in 2016. 2016, we've got 10 legalized states, and that won't stop. Maybe Florida passes medical in 2016 as well, and we have 25 medical marijuana states, half the country with medical marijuana. We could, in very short order, be in a situation where there are just 8 or 9 states in America where there is neither medical nor recreational nor decriminalization nor CBD, right? There's only about 8 or 9 states left where there is no marijuana reform whatsoever. It's your Idaho, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma. No, Oklahoma's got CBD. But anyway, I can show you the map, but you get my point. As we approach 2020, we have a very strong possibility that the federal prohibition on marijuana ends. Now, a lot of people, when they look at that and they consider that, think that it could happen faster than we all expect. It could be like a Berlin Wall moment where, oh my God, all of a sudden the Berlin Wall's down. What the hell, right? But I'm more, you know, I'm a cynic. I've had the cynicism beat into me over the 10 years of covering marijuana reform. And when you start to look at all of the ways that marijuana being illegal, all the little tendrils that extend into all these different areas in society, it makes me wonder, how easily can this be dismantled? Number one, you got marijuana as a Schedule 1 federal substance. Moving it to Schedule 2 doesn't change this much. Now, moving it to Schedule 2 does legalize medical marijuana somewhat on a national level. It would allow doctors to actually prescribe it, like they can prescribe cocaine or meth or fentanyl or anything else, right? So that would be helpful, but it wouldn't end the prohibition because cocaine and meth are still prohibited substances. You could move it down to Schedule 3, put it in the same place where Marinol is and Dronabinol and Ambien and anabolic steroids, but that still maintains a level of illegality, right? Steroids are still illegal, right? For a federal end of marijuana prohibition to happen, it can no longer remain in the Controlled Substances Act. It has to be removed from the Controlled Substances Act. Now, there are two drugs, two deadly addictive drugs that have a statutory exemption from the Controlled Substances Act. You know what they are, alcohol and tobacco. Hell, if you had to put alcohol and tobacco in the controlled substances rating, they'd both have to be Schedule 1 drugs. High potential for abuse, no safe use under doctor supervision, and no medical benefit. But they got that special exemption because, you know, society and culture for thousands of years, blah, blah, blah. So if we're going to have an end to federal prohibition, it can't be from rescheduling. It has to be from descheduling. Marijuana has to be taken off the schedule. Now, where would it be put after that? Would there be federal marijuana enforcement? Well, sure. We have a bureau. It's called the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And they have control federal tobacco and alcohol regulations, put cannabis there. Cannabis, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives. It's going to have to be regulated somewhere at a federal level, but if it remains in the Controlled Substances Act, then it remains the jurisdiction of the Drug Enforcement Administration and the jurisdiction of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, both of whom are required by law to oppose any common sense reforms to marijuana, no matter what the science might say. So we cannot move anywhere so long as marijuana is scheduled. It has to be taken out of the schedule, has to be given special status like alcohol and tobacco. And as it's given that special status, it also needs to be made clear that states have the right to regulate this. And not just, you know, inferred from the 10th Amendment and the 9th Amendment, but actually written out. Written out that the states have the right to regulate cannabis. I don't know if this could be an act of Congress. I suppose it could. And even with that, when people say, okay, within the next 5 years, it'll be legal everywhere. I don't know. I don't think so. I think in the next 5 years, it will be able to be legal anywhere. Like the federal government will drop its federal prohibition and any state that wants to regulate it can. But I don't think that means that it automatically happens in the next 5 years. Keep in mind, alcohol prohibition ended in 1933. Mississippi was a dry state until 1966. It took 33 years before the state of Mississippi got around to regulating and not prohibiting the adult sales and use, well, I guess the use was never illegal, but the sales of alcohol. So yeah, maybe by 2020 it gets descheduled, but I don't think that means Kansas and Idaho suddenly legalize marijuana in 2020. In fact, I see some of these diehard red prohibitionist states like Idaho, Kansas, Wyoming, North, South Dakota, I can see them maintaining a prohibition out of spite. Idaho has this saying that Idaho is what America was. And I can see Idahoans and their government maintaining that prohibition out of spite, becoming an island surrounded by legal states. So I'm not as sanguine on the idea that everybody's legal by 2020. I am sanguine on the idea that by 2020, the states will be given the ability to regulate as they see fit. All right, folks, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. Time flies when you legalize. Remember, no live Russ Belville show tomorrow. I'll be at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference VIP gathering. But we will be here live for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour at 8 o'clock with special guests joining us in the studio. Stay tuned for Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. And for everyone here at beautiful legal Potland, Oregon's Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you